We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
And so here in chapter 8 of the book of Isaiah, it says, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples." Verse 17, I want you to see. "And I will wait upon the Lord," and here is the phrase that I want to preach on, "that hideth his face from the house of Jacob." That hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Now flip over to chapter 45 and verse 15. And it says, "Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself." See that phrase again. "Verily, thou art a God that hideth thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior." But here I want to say, from that verse of Scripture in verse 17, verse 45, the thought that God was hiding himself from Israel, and I would ask the question, is God hiding from you? Is God hiding from you? Now, Christianity does not require a democracy to thrive, because we understand, as you read the Scriptures, and I understand that Christianity thrives because of the power of Jesus Christ. It's not the power of the people, as I say it, but it's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to be affected by the culture in which that we live in. But instead, we're to be affecting the culture with the power of the gospel. We shouldn't allow the culture to affect us, but we should be making effect on the culture in which we live. And I want you to know that I love the church. I am a local church lover. I believe that everybody ought to be in a church. I love the church. I love the ministry. I love what the local church is commissioned to do. And I understand that in the church some days are up. I understand that some days are down. I also understand some days are very exciting. And I understand that some days in the ministry is very difficult. Now, this afternoon I was watching the football game. And the football game went off, and I was sitting there studying, and I usually do that. I have the sound turned down pretty low, sit there studying. While I was sitting there studying this message and thinking about the ministry and thinking about the church and is God hiding from you, the rodeo come on. And I always have sort of liked that. I've always sort of enjoyed watching that. And I was sitting there watching that bull riding contest, and I thought, boy, that reminds me of the ministry. That reminds me of the ministry, because sometimes I feel like I've got the bull by the horns. Feel like the things are going pretty good, that I have everything under control. And then there's other times I feel like that I've got the bull by the tail. And it's just slinging me around and can't do anything. And then there's other times in the ministry I feel like that I'm just waiting for the clowns to come and get the bull off of me. So you see, I thought, boy, God, you showed me that right at the right time. And it parallels with what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, nevertheless, I love the ministry.
I love the work, be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd rather be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ than any other thing that a person could ever be. There's no more rewarding work than to serve the Lord. There's nothing any better, and I'm thankful for the privilege. And it is a privilege, and I count it a privilege. I've been able to serve here at Union Temple as a pastor. Just to think that I've been here 36 years. They ain't nobody in no profession that hardly ever gets the opportunity to stay there that long. And I just feel very blessed, and I feel very privileged that I've had that opportunity. I love the church, and I love the work of the church, and I love what the Lord can do through the church if we do what we're supposed to do and depend upon the power of God. Now, I want to give you another illustration. And the question is, and give you an illustration that leads to this topic, that leads to this text. Is God hiding from you? Is God hiding from you tonight? Now, let me give you an illustration. I read about this story where this man in church and been around church about 70-some years old. He'd lived a clean life. He'd never tasted alcohol. Never had tasted drugs or anything like that. Never had sat in a movie house and watched a movie. He had never viewed any scenes of immorality on television. His ears had not been filled with the vile conversations of the world. He had just lived a good life. He was continually, all the books that he ever read was the Word of God. Very familiar with the scripture, and the pastor couldn't preach on anything from the Word of God that this man wasn't very familiar with. And so he only spoke when he was spoken to, wasn't one of the gospel barriers and one of the troublemakers and all these kind of things. But when others had a need, they wanted this man to pray for them. That was the kind of an influence that he had on the rest of the church. He was such a godly man. His health had been good, never spent a night, 70-some years old, never spent a night in a hospital. But one day he had a pain in his abdomen, and he went to the doctor to get it checked on. And they put him in a hospital, and they began to run a series of tests, and they soon discovered that he had a fatal disease that it'd take his life in just a few months. So the story says that the gentleman called for this pastor to come and visit him. And the pastor went to visit him, and he was asked a question by the man that the pastor wasn't expecting. And the man asked this, and when he went in, he said, "Preacher, I've never doubted my salvation. I have never doubted the Word of God. I've never questioned God or His authority. But now, preacher, here I am in the hospital with only a short time to live. And it seems that I cannot find, and it seems that I cannot find God. Preacher, where is God? Lived all of his life reading the Word of God, believing the Word of God, living by the Word of God, depending on the Word of God, trusting the Word of God, having all confidence in God, living close to God, wasn't involved in anything of the world. But when it came down to the time that he seemingly needed the presence of God in his life more than anything else, he could not feel the presence of God. And he said, God, preacher, where is God?" I think that's the question, this illustration. Or this illustrates the text when Isaiah said, "Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself." Isaiah was a prophet God used to warn his people of the pending judgment that come when they depart from serving the one and the true living God. Isaiah said, if you depart from serving God, then the judgment of God will fall upon you. Isaiah reminded the people of Israel of God's goodness to them. Isaiah reminded the people of how that God had loved them and how that God had cared for them and how that God had nourished them and provided for them in all of those miraculous ways. And so, but now he tells them the trouble that has come to the house of Jacob is due to the fact that God had hidden himself from them and was letting them have the consequences of their own choices. He said, you've done this to yourself. The way that you've lived and the way that you have disobeyed God, the way that you have forsaken God, and the way that you've turned from the one and the true and the living God, that you have brought this upon yourself. And now you are experiencing the consequences of your own sins, of your own choices. As I preached on this morning, the consequences of sin. And so Isaiah made a statement that I want to read again. Look in verse 17 of chapter 8, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. It's a frightening thing to be in any trouble and not to have or feel a sense of security. It's frightening to be there, and you don't have anything to make you feel secure. In other words, if you're at home late of a night in darkness and all those kinds of things, and then you begin to hear a noise outside, most of the time, if you don't have a Smith & Wesson 38 or you don't have a good protecting dog or something, then you have a tendency to fear of what that noise is outside. But if you got something that you can use to protect yourself, you're not as afraid. You feel secure. You feel there's something. In other words, it's a frightening feeling when you're in a place when you cannot find any sense of security. And that's what I'm trying to make the illustration is. When you're living the Christian life and you come to the place that you really need God and you can't find God, and you feel like that God is hiding from you, and so you feel afraid. And you know about little toddlers, whenever they get lost in a store, they wander away from their mother, and suddenly they realize that they're alone. What do they? They start to scream out, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy." And Mommy might just be one aisle over, and she's in their presence. But suddenly, whenever that mother comes, then that baby, that little child sees that mother, then all the fear is gone. In other words, what I'm saying is, it's not good enough for a parent to be present. She was just right over on the other side of the aisle. She was present. Wasn't good enough. The child wanted a parent to be visible. Wanted to be able to see, actually see that parent with her own eyes. And so, I want to say, the Bible does not say that God leaves us. Nowhere does the Bible say that. In fact, the Bible teaches or promises just the opposite. The Bible promises in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So nowhere in the Bible does it ever tell us that God is going to leave you. I'm glad to tell you that when I got saved, that the Holy Spirit, that God moved in my heart in the person of the Holy Spirit, and he took up his abode there, and he said, I'm not going to move out. I'm going to stay with you. You're going to embarrass me, you're going to hurt me, and there's going to be times that I'm going to remain dormant in your life because of the way you live, but I'm here. And so God never, he says, I'll be with you, I'll never leave you. But there's a difference in being present and being visible. There's a difference in being present and being visible. Have you ever been there in your own life? Have you experienced a time in your life when you felt alone and it seemed that God was hidden from you? Have you ever been through that? Have you ever experienced a time in your life where you felt all alone and you didn't know what to do or where to turn, and you felt like that God was hidden? And you couldn't get a hold of heaven. You prayed and it seemed that your prayers didn't go above the ceiling. Now I want to say to you,
we're living in horrible times, and I've never heard so much stuff against the church and God's people in the last year than I have in the last year. And I want to say to you, in your Christian life, you better be in a place, spiritually speaking, where you can get a hold of God when you need Him, or you better know somebody that you can call up and say, I need you to pray for me. But have you ever been in that place where you just couldn't get a hold of God? When you cannot get a hold, and you say, where is God? Where are you, God? Israel says, He's hiding from us. And I want to say, in the 36 years that I've been a pastor, I've had the responsibilities more times than I want to think of. I've had the responsibility to preach a sermon of an infant or a small child. And that is something that I have never got used to. And what I said this is, I remember at one child's funeral, I heard a parent in pain and sorrow make a statement, preacher, where is God? Where is God when things like this are allowed to happen in our lives? Where is He? And then when I first read these words here in Isaiah, I thought I understood. But when Isaiah said, thou art a God that hideth thyself, I began to search the scriptures. I thought, is that the only place in the Bible that it says that? Is that just something there that is said once in the Bible, and I may be misinterpreting it, I may not be understanding it properly? I want to see if there's other occasions in the Word of God where this has ever happened to anybody else. And so I began to read the scriptures. I began to search the scripture to see if anyone else had had that feeling or had ever expressed that statement that God was hidden from them. And I found several. And I guess the most common one, or the one that most people knows about, is Brother Job. In Job chapter 13 and 24, he said, wherefore hidest thy face and holdeth me from thy enemy? Job said, God, you hideth thy face. Job was the one that said, after everything was gone, after his cattle and his crops and his children, everything that he owned was gone, he said, I looked for God. I looked before me and I couldn't see God. I looked to the left and God wasn't there. I looked to the right and God wasn't there. He said, I couldn't find God. God was hiding from me. Then I found in Psalm chapter 10, in verse 1, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Then in Psalms 44:24, wherefore hidest thy face and forgetteth our afflictions and our oppressions? Also in Psalms chapter 55 or 88 and 14, Lord, thou castest thou off my soul. Why hidest thy face from me? Psalms 104:29, thou hidest thy face. They are troubled. Thou taketh away their breath. They die and return to their dust. More and more in there. But those is just a few to confirm to me that this is occasion that happens regularly in the lives of God's children. You can see the dependency of these verses here of these men as they had a daily fellowship and a daily walk with God. But suddenly it seemed that they couldn't find Him. Very evident during those verses. This was not people that just ever occasionally had a relationship. This was people that had a relationship with God and fellowship with God, and they continually walked with Him and talked with Him and all those kind of things. And then they came to a place in their life where they said, God, you hidest thyself from me. I can't see you. I can't, where are you? Why hidest thy face? Sometimes all of us comes to that place and we wonder, Lord, where are you? I need an answer, Lord. Lord, I need you to hear my cry. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to that place? He said, Lord, where are you?
I need an answer. Lord, I need you to hear my prayer as I go through the scriptures. I know there's more than these three times, but I've found at least three times that God hides from us, and for a reason. And the first one is, sometime God hides from us to see if we'll do right anyway. Sometime God hides from us to see if we'll do right anyway. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But remember, there's a difference between the presence of God and the visibility of God. He hides his face or hides from his people. And one reason that he hides from us and hides from his people is that God wants to see what's within your heart. God wants to see what's within your heart. The second reason is he wants to see the motives in your heart. He wants to see the motives. Are you just serving God because everything's going well in your life and everything, you're on the mountaintop and everything is just wonderful? Well, God wants to see what would happen if things turned the other way. God wants to see the desire. He wants to see the desires of our service to him. Hezekiah was a man blessed of God. He sought the face of God and he sought the wisdom of God. But the Bible says that God left him. If you want to look over in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 30 and 31, this is what it's saying. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all of his works. Howbeit, there's everything's going good in the life of Hezekiah. Everything's prospering. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassador of the prince of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. How about that? God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. 2 Chronicles 32, 31. It's easy to serve God when we're on the mountaintop. Is that not right? It's very easy to come to church and be excited about church. It's very easy to be excited about the things of God. It's not no burden. It's very easy to serve God when you're on the mountaintop. During those times when you get up in the morning and read the Bible, when you're on the mountaintop and you can just hear the voices and you seem like you're just right there in the setting of that scripture and you're just hearing the voices and hearing what's going on and the scripture just seems so alive and so real to you when you're on the mountaintop. Then there's times that what you're reading is just one word after another. Have you ever had those times in Bible reading? Just reading a word, and then it's another word. Not feeling, not getting anything. Not having any kind of experience from reading. And then, because there's sometimes we seem disconnected, and you wonder, where's God? Why don't I feel the presence of God when I'm reading his word? I think he sometimes hides from us to see what's in our heart. What's in our heart? Do we just read the Bible because we get this good feeling and this good expression and experience and all this? And so sometimes God said, I'm just going to let it sort of be dry. And see what's in your heart. In other words, I see here, you remember, and I'm sure you did. You remember when you were in grade school? And you remember that? You know, people don't say that today. They don't call it grade school. We call it grade school. Well, we got preschool now. We got middle school. We got elementary school. We got all those kind of things. But I remember in grade school, I remember when the teacher would want to leave the room. And she'd say, I'm going to have to leave here for a little while. But it won't be gone long. Just got to run down here to the office and do something. I'll be back. But I want you to stay in your seat and I want you to do your work. And she left the room. But I don't know how they did it. And when I went to school, I don't know when this transition happened. But when I went to school, every teacher we had was, I ain't going to say, oh, that sounds like a derogatory word. But they were senior citizens. I don't know where all these pretty young girls, when they came into teaching, and they didn't exist when I was in school. And we was afraid of those senior citizen teachers when they were in the room. And so she was watching. I never could figure out how she knew everything went on after. But she wasn't visible, but she was still present. She was seeing who was the good little boys and who was the bad little boys. She was watching to see who was behaving. And some of you right now, while I'm talking, may be having flashback to those days. Because if you was like I was, just as quick as that door closed, I'd wad me up a piece of paper and I'd hit somebody that I didn't like in the back of the head with it. And you all probably did too. But what I'm saying is, she wasn't visible in the room. And we thought she was gone, but she was still watching. And so I'm saying to us, the Bible says of Hezekiah that God left him to try him so that he would know all that was in his heart. The teacher left us to try us to see who is the good little boys and the good little girls that don't have to have supervision standing over them all the time to do what they're supposed to do. It's simply what she's trying to do. Who's the troublemakers? And that is what God was saying. God is saying, here is, I want to see who you really are. I want to see whether you're doing this because of the blessings. I want to see what's really in your heart. And so here, and sometimes it seems that we work and we study and we visit, we go soul winning, and things are going well. But suddenly, things begin to slow down or even come to a stop. And we feel that we're all alone. And we begin to say, what's going on? What am I doing wrong? It just might be that God is trying to tell us and to see what's in our heart. Is God hiding from you tonight? Do you don't feel his presence? Do you seem like he's far away, that he's not hearing your prayer? Maybe he's just wanting to see what's in your heart.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.